Welcome to the Turning Point Church podcast. We pray that this message takes root in your heart and bears fruit in your life. For additional messages and other resources, you can visit us at www.tpoint.church.
Can everybody see okay? You got enough space? Has everybody got enough space? Let's hope that ends real soon. There's several confirmations that have already taken place this morning, some of the things that you were saying, Pastor. Mike is not in here right now, but some of the things that he was saying, I love how God does that. I love how he confirms every step of the way. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. And if you'll look around you, signs are happening all the time. He is a God of signs and wonders, and he's giving you directions. Church, he is giving you directions. He's letting you know this is the direction to go. Go this way, not this way. He's directing you in everything. And what we've got to become better at is seeing and hearing those things. Micah and Kelsey, they're talking to our kids this morning. That's why they're not in here now. They had something planned for the kids. But if you'll let me for the next few moments, I just want to share some of my heart. It's very visionary in nature. I've been looking forward to this time. Even as Pastor Russell was saying, with a new place, there are new ideas, new dreams, new thoughts. There are things you're looking at things differently in a new place. You're looking at not just problems to solve, but you're looking at potential. You're looking at potential. And I've always believed, we have always believed, ever since this church started, that God had a great plan for it and for the people involved with it. And so that's why it's so wonderful to be here and to be in this place, to know that he provided us the place for a purpose. Remember last week we concluded asking, God, why did God do this? Why did he do this? He did it for three reasons: his glory, this community, and praise God, he did it for us. God so loved the world, he sent his son for us. You see, God does do things for his kids because he loves them. God does love his children enough to answer prayer. God loves his children enough to be faithful. He does so for his glory. And as I look around at what God has given us, I cannot help but feel the weight of responsibility that accompanies this tremendous privilege. It's not in the Bible. In fact, Uncle Ben said it, but with great power comes great responsibility. The Word of God says it this way: to whom much is given, much is required. And I want to bring everyone in the room into that understanding with me, that thinking with me. For some people, when they're faced with the responsibility, they can they either shirk it or they retreat or they disengage. And I'm going to ask this church to do just the opposite. And we end up just looking at all the problems that have to be solved rather than the potential. Some people see problems, other people see potential. And we need to be those that see the potential. Are there things to be solved? I just ran into Pastor Ron Byers, who's the pastor of Barfield Church, Barfield Baptist Church, at the conclusion of their service. We're still working out some details in the flow, and so we had this whole plan for our dream teams. We communicated on Wednesday night. You're going to enter through this door. They're going to exit through these doors. Parking's going to be this way, and then entrances are going to be this way, all that kind of stuff, and that just didn't work out this Sunday, and so we all actually had to come through, all of our teams had to come through the fellowship hall door, and so we had people coming in through all areas, and then when their first service let out, they were coming through the fellowship hall, and they were stopping, they were like, Oh, we didn't know you were in here. Are we allowed to pass through here? Of course you're allowed to pass through here. And it's just like all these things figuring out. But Pastor Ron, he and I stopped for a second. They had a wonderful first service. And we just connect so well. And we're both talking about how wonderful it is when God is amongst his people. Even in the midst of all the things and the issues that have to be solved here and there and along the way, the greatest thing that is happening and what we must keep our eyes and our focus on is what God is doing. What God is doing. What I want to focus on really over the next few weeks is what we are to do now that we're here. The message, the title for today, we are here, now what? Now what? That's the question. And as we grow and as we mature, there's a longing for responsibility. I see that in our children. We see that in our children. The older that they get, they actually want to be entrusted with more. As we grow and we mature in the Lord, we should desire that as well. That is part of maturing. We should want to be entrusted with more. Because not only do we know that there's a responsibility that comes with it, we know that there are also great privileges that come. That is like the feel of responsibility is not one that is like the weight that so easily entangles us. There's a difference. Jesus said, "Take me upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's a difference between the weights of sin and the weights that the Lord would have us. The weights that God has placed on us, responsibility, is a weight of purpose. And that is a good weight. That is a weight that requires us to work at it, to try, to move with him. There are some things that we can't afford to do as we have always done them, as the Lord told Israel, this is a way that you haven't passed before. This is new territory. It's a way you haven't passed. This is what I want to see. I want to see a church that is consumed by the fire of the Holy Spirit, that is holy, that is without blemish or spot. I believe that's a church that Jesus is coming back to get anyway. I want to see a church whose love for the King gives way to the kingdom culture. I want to see a church that is reaching this community with the love of Jesus in a way it never has before. I want to see a church that is in a perpetual state of giving and receiving, in a flow of giving and receiving. And I want to see a church that is abounding unto every good work. It's a time of action. It's a time of action. We didn't come here to catch our breath. We didn't come here to take a break. We came here to take the land. To take the land. Time of activity and action, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's a time of intentionality, a time of boldness, and a time of courage. Didn't the Lord tell Joshua, be strong and courageous? Turn with me very quickly, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to start with verse 15, so if you're there, come on and stand with me. And we're all standing together. Look at that. It's good. Deuteronomy 30, starting with verse 15. This is the Lord speaking. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. I think one sounds better than the other. Verse 16, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land you are entering to possess it. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us your word to lead us and guide us. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, we couldn't see without it. Wouldn't know where to go without it. God, our ears and our hearts are yielded completely to your word this morning, that we would be your people who know the voice of the shepherd. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. As you're seated, turn to the person next to you, say, we are here. Now what? We made it. Now what? What are we going to do? I typically don't look for three bullet points and a conclusion. I just look for the leading of the Holy Spirit as best I can when it comes to preparing and knowing what to speak to our church. And it just so happens that this time there are three things. So, hey, we'll just go with it. But this was highlighted in the verse that we read. Three things I want you to remember as we move forward and as we take steps. That we are to live, multiply, and possess. Let me read the verse again. Keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Walk in his ways that you may live and multiply. And that the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are going to possess it. So the first of these that I want to address and come into the same heart with is live. Life. Live. Services and sermons are a small portion of life. I'm not downplaying their significance or their importance, because many of the most incredible things that I've experienced in the Lord have happened in the context of a service. I can't tell you how many times that there have been messages that have shifted the course and the trajectory of my life. I praise God for that. But I'll repeat our founding pastor in saying that Jesus did not come to give us church. He came to give us life, and life more abundantly. In order for us to live in the land, we have to change the way we think about living. We have to change the way that we look at our times together, even these services. Again, the services and the sermons have their place, but they're just one place and one part of the life. I would like to see that the next great days of the Lord upon this church to have less emphasis on the sermons and the services and more emphasis on life. On life. The sermons are to inspire life. The services are to inspire life. If the only time we feel the presence of the Lord is in this context, aren't we missing something? If the only time we hear a word from God is when a minister of the gospel has one for us, aren't we missing it? Aren't we missing the life that he's intended for us? This is one of the critical flaws that I've had to come through. Even I love revival. I love the revivalist. I love the revivalist mentality. But so many times my prayer was so inward focused. I'm like, God, do something here. You see, the Holy Spirit didn't come to keep everybody in the upper room for all eternity. He didn't come to make that the hangout of all hangouts for the deepest Christians of all. The Holy Spirit came to anoint people, to touch people, that she would be the mobile temple that, yes, comes together for fellowship and for faith building and for sharpening and for growing in the Lord, but then is sent out. And as long as we make services and sermons the star rather than the Savior himself, we will continue to shoot ourselves in the foot. We will fall short. We will fall short. Believe me, this community does not need another good service. You can take your pick this morning, at this time, right now, of all kinds of good services. Good ministers, good ministries, good programs, good things happening. And there is still an incredible deficiency of people who have been saved and reached in this community over the last decade. People are coming in from all areas of the country, all areas of the world. The population in this area is growing, but the salvations and the transformations have yet to catch up. So what does that tell us? That tells us that we need to get some things and some of our priorities back in order. Anybody else want to get their priorities in order? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You'll appreciate this, sweetie, but this is something that God has been speaking to her. She's been sharing it with me, that God keeps giving her this word over the last few weeks. Joy. Joy. And something that I would love to see this church do in the days ahead, starting today, and that is enjoy the life that God has given you. Enjoy. 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 So many of us are missing the things that are happening that God is doing. Some people in this room, I know how you are. I know how you operate. Can't even fully take a vacation. If you take a vacation, there's things that you're worried about. All you can think about is the work that has to be done in order for you to go on vacation. And then while you're on vacation, all you can think about is what you have to do to catch up once you get back from vacation. This isn't a plug for vacations. But even the Lord knew to rest. He knew to rest. He knew to enjoy it. To enjoy. You know, when God was done creating the things he created, he concluded it by saying, "That's good. That is good. Man, I did good." I don't know how many angels were around at that time. I don't know the whole time frame, but if there was no one else there, he was telling himself, he was praising himself. "Man, Lord, you did good." "Well, thank you, Lord, I did good. Look at all that stuff down there. Isn't that good?" "It's good." But we will miss out on the good and our ability to enjoy what God is doing. That's why we're taking some of the time that we're taking even in this place. Is there work to be done? Absolutely, there's work to be done. But that's what I'm doing, is coupling this with what I believe the Lord is telling us. In keeping on, keeping on, there is also a wisdom that says, let's enjoy this thing. Pastor, you were talking about Paul before Agrippa, and that's in my notes today, in a different context, when he stood before King Agrippa, and he said, "King Agrippa, I think myself happy." Happy. Happy. "I consider myself and I think myself happy." Now, let's look at the context. Because heaven forbid we forget the context. He's in chains. falsely accused. His life is being threatened. He's on trial. Dude, I'm happy. How in the world are you in that situation and happy? Except that there is something of the Lord that is working in your life that causes everything else to begin to dim away. You know, there are, if you've ever looked at Fox's Book of Martyrs and the martyrs throughout the centuries, every single one of them have this in common, that they considered it the absolute greatest honor to have given up their life for the cause of Christ. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. That it was their greatest cause. And that's the crazy things that the disciples said too. To be considered worthy to die. Peter was to be crucified. But because he so respected the Lord and so honored what was happening, he did not allow himself to be crucified in the same manner that Jesus was, and he commanded them to crucify him upside down. He said, I will not even share on that level. I think myself happy. In this time where we've moved into a new place, I don't want to see us miss life, miss loving the life that God has given us. How many people in this room love your life? I'm not asking you, you don't have to stand up and shout me down. We must learn to live the life. We must learn to live these words, because these words are what? Spirit and... You cannot have life apart from him, apart from this. Can't have it. This is what the Lord told Joshua when going into the land. Joshua 1:6-8, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. Praise God, he's done that. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all that is according to this law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law will not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, so that you will be careful to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. God is tying the success wherever we go, the prosperity, he's tying it to the word. Live means to thrive, to enjoy, rejoice, dwell. I believe that the people of God should be the most joyous and happy people on the face of the planet. But there are sometimes it feels like you're in chains. And that's the time when you say, I think myself happy because of what the Lord has done. I believe that God has given us some intentional planning here that I want to share with you. One of the plans I believe the Holy Spirit has given us for this season is that we come together. We come together. We come together for several reasons. We come together. Oh, good job, guys. Great timing. We come together to eat. I better get some amens up in here on that one. We'll see where it goes from there. Okay, we come together to serve. We'll work on that one. Come together to play. D- Did you know there's just as much responsibility in those things than there is opening a door for someone on Sunday morning? There's just as much responsibility in those things. Those are just as much a part of the life that God has called us to than the things where we're serving here and there as much as it is. It's a part of our calling. It's a part of our purposes. It's a part of how He created us to be together, to come together. It's an important time for us as a family of God to come together. And I want to say this. We'll get to the other things I said. Live, multiply, and possess. We'll get to this more in the multiply stage of this message. But let me tell you something right now. Everything that we do has an invitation to this community attached to it. It is not exclusive to this church family. So when we get together and eat, I expect there to be people from this community that come because of our invitations, because of our open arms, because we are constantly welcoming them. It's one of our core values. It's one of our most important core values. And there's always room for one more. Always room for one more. We'll get more into that. But coming together to eat, it's purposeful. It's intentional. It's a strategy of the Holy Spirit. God intended for us to be together. He didn't just create us for Him. He created us for each other. But here's when we're going to have it. Wednesdays at 6:30. Wednesdays. I want to encourage you in this. They were all together in one accord in the upper room. They were all together in Cornelius' home. When God did something significant, they were together. They were together. I'm going to ask you to come together for a time of commitment. And this may be something that we're not used to doing. Maybe you're not used to being here and coming on Wednesday nights. I believe this is an intention of the Holy Spirit to bring us back into some thinking and some times together. And what ends up happening is that we make decisions that little by little, if we're not careful, can dull our faith. And I will say this as a foundation for these next few statements, is that Wednesday is not a sacred thing. Just because it happens on Wednesday isn't what makes it sacred. In other words, our coming together in His presence is what does. It's assembling like the Avengers know how to do. Second Marvel reference this morning. I got to be careful. Because in this too is an understanding for us that as people of God, we are more than the jobs that we work to pay the bills for where we live. Amen. It's more than that. It's more than just doing the job, having the career, all of those things. Sometimes we become accustomed to operating on our own and we lose connection. We become deceived into thinking we don't need anyone, don't need to be in a life group, don't need to serve on a team, don't need to be here on a come together on Wednesday night. And what ends up happening is that slowly begins to erode at our connection. And before you know it, other deceptions start to make their way in. Y'all still hearing the pastor this morning? Other things begin to make its way in. Because if I'm not significant to someone else, then maybe I'm not significant at all. And me being there is not significant. I love what Pastor Johnny, our founding pastor, said before we left the old place, when he was talking about connection and how we need each other and how we can't do this thing alone, but that we've got to come together in this moving forward. Proverbs says, a man who isolates himself, he seeks his own purposes. It works against us when we pull away. I'm not here to dwell on this as much as I'm wanting us to dwell in the life that God has given us. And it's important for us to be connected. Y'all still with me? Let's become strengthened again through faith, through fellowship, through discipleship. I'm going to ask you to do things like let work know that you need to serve the Lord and his people with your whole heart. Let work know you gotta get out early to come together. And a hush fell over the crowd. If all you hear is a ploy to increase church attendance, we're not listening with the right ears. To hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," it will not be because of the company that you worked overtime for. It won't be for the retirement plan that you built up. It will not be for the business that you started. Those words will be in direct response to your obedience to his instruction. The Lord did not bless you to limit your involvement. He blessed you to increase your kingdom ability and not just your comfort ability. Holy Spirit, help this thing. I'm asking you to let the sports team know Wednesday night they can't practice. I'll take my glasses off if I need to, because then I can't see none of y'all. That's the honest truth. I see colors. Oh, that messes with me, though. Listen, all of our boys play ball. Our coaches, we know our coaches. We've been with them for years. They know what we believe. They know what we stand for. That still does not keep them from trying to move the needle. They've asked us on more than one occasion, can we have practices on Wednesday nights? I said, yes, you can. But my boys won't be there. We've had to hold our ground sacrificially. If you're talking about coming into the land to possess it, when it takes a lot to go in to possess it, you better be willing to hold on to it. That means standing the ground, holding the ground, meaning this is what we do and we don't move from it. We're not making Wednesday night a form of religion. It's about coming together. And while we're here, why would we place so much emphasis on something that has no eternal significance? The only way the Lord says to us on the day we stand before him, nice catch, it will not be because of the ball you caught on the field. And it will not be because of the team that you supported watching them catch the ball on the field. The only way he says nice catch is if you allow him to make you a fisher of men. And we're so willing to move everything else to line up with work, with extracurriculars and all these other things. And before you know it, we have scheduled and organized God right out of the thing. When I sing, he's my everything. He's my all. I want to be one who worships in spirit and in truth. Let us be that kind of church. The enemy is a thief. He'll steal your purpose, your identity, your significance if he's given the opportunity. Don't give place to the enemy. The Word of God tells us. Priorities and purposes of the kingdom. You see, something happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Something wonderful happened. Peter could go out, he could step out the door, and he could preach something that was convicting, something that was truthful, something that was encased in power. And instead of there being a resistance to it, everyone in unison said, "What do we got to do? We are here. What now? What do we got to do?" God wants us to come together in unity, in likeness of heart, because I believe God wants to use it for his glory. You still with me? I'm almost done. You still with me? You still with me? Yes. Glory. Man, second Sunday, and I'm just throwing a wrench in the thing. Glory to God. I'll take them off again. In Leviticus, let's get back to the eating part, okay? Now that everybody's good and mad. In Leviticus, the Lord declared 7 feasts every year. Every year. This Wednesday, it's the first Wednesday, look at the date. Oh, Maddie, you did so good. Switch it around again. The first one, that's this Wednesday, y'all. Miss Tasha's going to come up at the end. She's going to give you some instructions because there's sign-ups and all of that kind of stuff. You're gonna bring food. We're going to come together, all of those things. But what we miss sometimes is what it's about. Those 7 feasts that God instructed, that means 7 times a year, you got to bring everybody together and you got to have a killer meal. 7 times a year. Think 7 Thanksgivings. Man, we are passionate about some food. One of those feasts, he gave a name to it. There's names for all of them, and there's purposes for all of them, but one of the feasts that he named was called the Feast of Tabernacles. Or the Feast of Booths. And they would set up tents all throughout the community, and they would come together and they would feast. And it would remind them, God said, "You will do this because I want you to remember the time that you were in the wilderness and you had to set up the tabernacle everywhere that you went, everywhere that I led you, you had to set up the tabernacle. So I want you to gather together. I want you to come together. I want you to eat and remember and enjoy what God has done." It's not just a meal for the sake of having a meal. There is purpose in it. There is purpose in it. What you will talk about across the table from somebody at a meal is usually different than the hi and the goodbye that you have on a Sunday morning. You begin to have conversation. Why? Because that food brings us together. We're going out with the missionaries for lunch after the service. Where are we going? We go Mexican, Italian, steak, fish. Not Italian. They're like, not Italian. You been to Sicily? There's no Italian here. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to spoil that for them. Pozzolis. Oh wow, that's sacrilege right there. Each of these times of feasting and coming together had their own significance. But even remember what he said, that the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. So it's not just about the food, that the kingdom of heaven is about what? Life? Joy? And peace in the Holy Ghost. Come on. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And that's what happens when we come together.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Turning Point Church. To stay connected, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, we'd love for you to join us for a Sunday or midweek service. God bless you and have a wonderful week.